You're listening to The Light, KLYT Albuquerque Santa Fe. Rebroadcast on KNKT Cannon Air Force Base, K201CC Las Cruces, K228DQ Portales, and worldwide at KLYT.FM. From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE, ABQ Connect.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you. I'm in studio with Lisa and Danny Andazola, and they're going to talk to you about how they prepared to be married, and they've been married for a long time. But before we get to Lisa and Danny, I want to tell you a little story about generosity that leads to more generosity. We're all talking about the Christmas Critter campaign provided to people around the world by GFA World. Imagine trying to support your three young children on an income of only $3 a day. This was the challenge a man named Canal faced, and poverty's grip almost overwhelmed his family. The small plot of land in South Asia that they called home wasn't big enough to farm, so this 44-year-old father was limited to picking up whatever manual labor jobs he could find each day. Even with Canal's hard work and dedication, they barely had enough to make ends meet, let alone keep their children in school. But a simple Christmas gift brought the beginnings of change for Canal's family in 2012. Canal received a piglet through a GFA-supported gift distribution at his church. Not long after the pig was grown, it had a litter of 8 piglets. Canal was so thankful to God for his provision that he gave one piglet as a tithe to the church. The 7 other piggies went to market. Piggies went to market. It's a funny thing. And sold for a good price of about $37 each, an incredible step of financial breakthrough for a family who had once struggled so much. I share this story with you because we're in the middle of the Christmas Critter campaign, and you can go to klyt.fm, click on the Christmas Critter campaign, and go right to the banner. And it'll give you a catalog, really, of things that you might consider purchasing that will go to one of 16 countries around the world. And GFA World used to be Gospel for Asia. Now they're in 16 different countries, not just South Asia. So they're doing some amazing things. This is a sustainable gift that will really help people. And we're so glad that you're listening, and our listeners are just absolutely amazing. So we hope that you'll support the Christmas Critter campaign. These stories are real. These are actual stories that are happening and not have just happened, but are also happening. I also want to mention to everybody that we're so thankful for our veterans. Today's Veterans Day, and we want to thank those who have served and are serving. We want to thank the Lord, because all of these people that are out there in our military are literally risking their lives for us, and they don't even know us. And I'm amazed by that. So thank you so much, veterans, for being out there. Let me tell you about my friends Danny and Lisa Andazola. They're part of a Kinship Connect group. I say, you guys started with, we call them Connect groups, not Calvary, kinship. But they used to be Kinships. You've been doing life together with this group for over 35 years. We've had various members come on. Most recently, we had the Ruiz family and the Williams family, and talking about the tragedy of the Williams losing a parent and being supported by the group, the Ruiz's losing their son Angelo. Yes. And so we really wanted to present real life, and that's what you guys have been living together. Yes. You guys have a unique story about how you met and how you acted upon the attraction that you felt for one another. Mm-hmm. What I found unique about your approach to dating and preparation for marriage is how you desire together to honor God through the process. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Christian, and I don't think I did a very good job of honoring God either in the process of preparing for marriage or in being married. So I'm blessed that you guys are here. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, how long have you guys been married?
This past October 20th, it was 40 years.
Woo-hoo. 40 years.
Yeah, 40 years.
It only seems like 60. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. You don't want to hear his joke. Go ahead.
It feels like 10 minutes.
Oh, that's so sweet, honey.
underwater. No.
Oh, wow.
Good thing I can laugh.
I should disclaim that any and all answers that require Danny to sleep on the couch tonight, I do not take responsibility for.
That actually came from, you talked about our kinship, and we always did various teachings and stuff, and that was a teaching. It was called Laugh Your Way to a Happy Marriage.
Mark Gunger. And
Mark Gunger. He's the one that tells that joke. So
it's funny.
It's not my joke. It's his.
Well, and hey, we have a little humor here. And I know both of you are high energy people. You're smilers, I call you, because you're always laughing and you have a lot of joy. But life in marriage, life with other people's not always easy.
No.
And so the group has really, your group of people has stood up for each other and hugged each other and just been available. Tell us a little bit how you guys met, because I don't think I know that story.
Well, we met at the church. Danny was an usher at Calvary when Calvary was at Kaufman's, and I was working in the tape room.
And you were helping lead worship.
I was helping lead worship.
I remember.
With my sister, Lauren Skip. Mm-hmm. And so he was an usher, and I hadn't met him, but my mom and dad and my little sister had met him. And they said, oh, we have to introduce you to Danny, my little sister. I think she had a little crush on him. He's such a, he's a hugger. He hugged everybody. And she called him Chip, and it was because he had his beard and his little Chip, the chipmunk.
Oh,
yeah, Chip.
You had the lamb chops going on?
Yeah, I guess so. I never shaved, yeah, I guess.
So she was a little smitten with him. So they introduced me to Danny, and that's how we first met. And then started going to the singles group that Mark McAllister led. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he led that singles group, and we both were going there.
Well, and it's interesting you mentioned Mark McAllister. Mm-hmm. What a gentle man.
Awesome.
What a beautiful person. We just had a conversation with Jody.
Yes.
Of course, Mark passed away some years ago after 27 years of marriage and really was in a battle, a mental health battle and kinds of things. I mean, just difficult things. Jody wrote a book about it called Counting It Joy, The McAllister Story. If you want to listen to that, if you're listening now, you can go to klyt.on. Go to abqconnect.online and you can listen to that interview. But Mark McAllister was a neat pastor.
Yes, he was.
And I'm glad that you're testifying that you started together doing that. Mm-hmm. Lisa, let's talk about you before you met Danny. How did you see yourself beginning a relationship with your future spouse?
Well, I had dated for a couple years in high school, and then I was dating a non-believer. And the Lord kept speaking to me. I started, that's when Calvary came to town, met Skip, and Raul Reese came and did that. So my life was changing. And so I just started saying no to that relationship and didn't date for 4 years until Danny had approached me. And so, it was 4 years of just being involved in church and singles ministry, working at the church.
Do you remember his opening line?
His opening line.
I had a lot of good ones, but no.
Yeah, he was known for being very funny. And when I met him, the first thing was just hi and a big hug, because he was hugging everybody. He was the usher that was known for hugging people, not just a handshake.
Nice.
So, that's actually how I got the job. It was John Thomas.
John Thomas.
I was always hanging out at the door, and he says, Danny, he says, don't just stand there, hand out these bulletins. You're the new usher.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's called called on the spot.
That's right. Yeah.
There you go. Danny, how about you? Had you thought about dating and how you might change when you met the one God wanted you to be with?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because various ways God will speak to you and teach you, whether it's through his word, written word, or a teaching, or just a nice worship song. At least to me, anyway. And at this time, it was a very spiritual moment, having a cup of coffee outside in the parking lot, you know. But it's when Calvary had the big urn of coffee.
Out on Snow Heights.
On Snow Heights, yeah. And you would always meet people going in and out. And there's this a lovely old couple that
it's
in the
Aliano's.
Day.
It's Aliano's.
What's that?
Italianos.
Italianos, yeah, from New York. And it was Paul and Millie Ciaccio. And they're just such a neat couple. Mm-hmm. And they were the age where we're at now. So they'd been married quite some time. But in that, you know, so it's the older men teaching the younger. And he just was talking to me. We were talking outside having coffee. And we talked about how he had met his wife and everything. Because I was not dating. I had no intentions of dating.
He was the bachelor to the rapture.
There you go.
That was his reputation.
Yeah. And, you know, it seems like that's when God will speak to you when you're just kind of casually going along. And
okay. And maybe this is, I don't mean for this to be too invasive, but did you have that attitude because you were trying to be a godly man and a holy man, and maybe dating would lead you somewhere else?
Well, you know, yes, I think so. From my past, because I became a Christian in 1978, and at this time at Calvary, it was probably 1980. I want to say like 1980, 81, somewhere in that time frame. Mm-hmm. So I'd been a Christian for 2 or 3 years, and my past was not that good. It was not that rosy. So, yeah, I think that's exactly what it was.
So in some way, that was, you're trying to honor God.
Yes.
And
yes.
Not, you know, realizing the weaknesses of your flesh, the
right.
Propensity to sin, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But you were trying to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Trying to be careful. And also my lack of knowledge of dating a Christian at this time, you know, my new life as a Christian, and how to treat a woman. And I met this elderly couple who had been married quite some time. And he basically gave me an answer to that. You know, it was a teaching, it's a revelation to me from God, because I still remember to this day. Mm-hmm. And how I felt. But what he basically said, I asked him, so how did you guys meet? How did you date from New York? He said it was our high school sweethearts. He would go up there and pick up his wife, or not his wife, but his girlfriend. And they would go down to the pizza place and walk back home. And as he walked her up to the door, he would give her a kiss on the cheek and say goodnight. And this was, you know, high school age group, you know, just after. And I thought, wow, that's nice. I go, so you never kissed on the lips? And he says, oh, no. He said, and as a matter of fact, he's like, well, I waited till our wedding day to kiss her on the lips.
When I lifted her veil.
When I lifted her veil, mm-hmm. That's when I kissed her on the lips. And it was just a dawning to me, like a revelation. It's like, so that's what where the marriage covenant, that's the sealing of the covenant, was a kissing on the lips on your marriage day. And that's where I wanted to do that.
What's fascinating to me about this story is I know you guys, and I haven't seen you for a long time. Mm-hmm. That makes me sad, by the way, because we haven't seen each other for a good 20 years plus.
It's been a while.
I've talked to you on the phone because Lisa calls me with all kinds of cool guests, including Jody McAllister and Toya Kaplan and other things that you're involved
love
with.
Them.
By the way, I've heard that they are now selling the restaurant.
Yes,
the
it's
Kaplan's.
Official.
Yeah. Congratulations to the Kaplans. Toya Kaplan, obviously involved with a bunch of things to protect children and women from traffickers. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I digress. But knowing you guys, I know that you didn't set up, okay, these are the 10 rules for our dating relationship. Mm-hmm. What you really did together, Danny, and I'm going to ask you how you led this. You wanted to honor God throughout the entire dating process. Mm-hmm. So what were those discussions like with Lisa?
Well, just when we first met, I told her that same story.
And we weren't dating yet.
Mm-hmm. And I basically said, it's like, well, when I choose to date and the gal I'm going to marry, this is how I want to approach it. To where we don't kiss on the lips until our wedding date to seal that covenant.
And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? That's awesome. And I, at that point, I'm going, oh, he's going to be a fine catch if I can catch him. I was just so impressed.
Yeah.
I was impressed that a man would do that, because in just the one previous relationship I had for a couple years, that it was always, we didn't talk. You didn't talk. You're always making out. And so that wasn't healthy. And that's one thing Paul Ciaccio told him.
Yeah.
He said, if you're kissing, you're not communicating. And I wanted to know my soon-to-be wife. I wanted to get to know her. So if you're getting physical, then you're not communicating.
Well, and obviously, it's not just kissing.
Right.
Kissing leads to all kinds of other things. And I know that I'm a weakling. And so I just find this whole story to be really fascinating. And I'm hoping there's people. Danny made a statement earlier that his dating life prior to knowing you was not exactly holy. You've just talked about making out all the time, Lisa. Yeah. I mean, what's funny to me is there's no shame with people that love Jesus,
right?
Because God uses these stories, yes, to encourage other people. And I'm hoping that there may be some young people,
yes,
that want to get married. Maybe they're already dating. Maybe you need to think about how you've dedicated your time together to learning about the Lord together,
yes, mm-hmm,
and thereby learning more and more about each other. Because I think you're exactly right, Lisa. As soon as physical stuff starts, the communication,
mm-hmm,
kind of stops, yeah, and you kind of get dependent on that. Mm-hmm. And we all know that sexual things aren't going to carry your marriage.
Exactly. As Christians, you're going to start feeling the guilt and the shame, and then you'll argue more, and it's just not blessed by the Lord, right? Because Scripture says don't fornicate,
yeah,
which is sex before marriage. So you go down that path as a Christian, going to church, involved in the singles group, and you know it just messes up your life. So if you grab hold of it, believing that you want to obey the Lord, you want to obey His word. We say that we're a Christian. We want to do what He says. There's so much blessing that comes from that. And we had pretty much a trouble-free dating relationship in that regard, because there was just already respect there. And because he was leading, I didn't have to tell him no. And that was so important. As a woman, women don't want to have to tell men no. Mm. It can get to the point where it can turn to rape. And at that point, the lines have really been crossed. But a woman in the heart of heart, her heart of hearts does not want to have to say no to a man regarding physical things.
Especially when you care about them a lot.
Oh my gosh, yes. Right. And then you just feel the disrespect. And when that happens early on in a relationship and then you go to marriage, you will fight that disrespect for your husband throughout your marriage if that isn't established. I can honestly say that Danny making the choice to do that for me, I felt loved, respected, and I could trust him. I felt safe. And so that has led into 40 years of marriage. Even when sometimes I want to wring his neck, I remember that he loved and cherished me so much, and he still does those things to be respectful of me. So I really appreciate it.
You know, along those lines, also, when the man, mm-hmm, takes that leadership role in that aspect,
yes,
and the pureness of,
yes,
it, I think that establishes him as a leader,
yes,
or as the head of the household, and I think that's when the women will respect some decisions, maybe not every decision, but will respect those decisions that you're able to make later on.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a blanket statement that I think the majority of people are so influenced by media,
yes,
and other exposure, yeah, to things that 90% of what we do is led by hormones and not the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Hey, when we come back, I want to hear about that first kiss, that lifting of the veil.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll be back on ABQ
Fireworks.
Connect with Lisa and Danny Andazola right after these messages. Jim Williams with you this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Before we get back to Lisa and Danny Andazola, I want to again appeal to you. It's the Christmas Critter Campaign presented by GFA World, the late K.P. Yohannan, Dr. K.P. Yohannan. What an amazing missions pastor and lover of people was Dr. Yohannan.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in helping with maybe buying a sewing machine for somebody to help a community start a business, or a couple of pigs, or a couple goats, or a couple, mm-hmm, chickens, all of these gifts will help sustain very poor people and help them have income. I was so amazed at all the stories about the sewing machines. I mean, I have no aptitude for sewing. I tried one time, but God equips people, men and women, to use these sewing machines to make clothing, to sell them, to provide for their families, to provide for the communities. Anyway, go to klyt.fm, click on the GFA World Christmas Critter Campaign, or you can call 855-513-2127. Danny and Lisa Andazola kind of set up a little bit about why they had decided to concentrate on communication and not allow the physical things to kind of distract them from honoring God. So I need to hear about the kiss on the lips when you lifted the veil. So who did your wedding ceremony? Did Skip do it?
Yes, Skip did it. Yes, but
so when he said, you may kiss the bride, I want to know what was going on.
People, well, my sisters yelled out, "It's about time, Danny." and then everyone went crazy, and then Skip decided to tell everybody.
Skip shared it. When he found out that I had made that commitment, and he shared it with the rest of the people there.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, this is not just a story for you. You just got through telling us during the break that you got woken up early this morning with a message for our listeners.
Yes, I laugh because just being 40 years married, you know, you have to adjust to sleeping habits and stuff. So who wakes up who is always interesting. But anyways, I went to the kitchen. It was 3:22, and sometimes the Lord will tell me a book. And so I get excited because it's like, oh my gosh, that's so exciting. So he said, I saw it was 3:22, and he says, go to Revelation. So I look up Revelation 3:22, and I'm scrolling, I'm hitting 20:20. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I didn't hear him very well. And so then I scroll, and the last verse of Revelation 3:22 says, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And the Lord right away prompted my heart that it had to do with today, with this radio program and talking to you, Jim, about our love story. And that God is speaking to the church, especially because I don't think our numbers are very high. We might be right up there with the world as far as fornicating, sex before marriage. And
divorce rate's just as high
huge.
In the church.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think this is a wake up. If you have ears to hear today, please listen to the things that God put on our hearts to stay away from having sex before marriage, because it will set you up, it'll establish you, and lay a firm foundation for your marriage to last a lifetime. So,
what do you do instead of having sex? And I know that sounds silly, but I really want to know.
Yeah,
it was interesting. We were really involved in the singles group at the time at Calvary, and what we did is we did a lot of missions outreach or just any outreach program. Mm-hmm. We did one memory that we have is they used to support an orphanage down in Mexico, Calvary, back in the day. They still might, but it was a very big supporter of it. And we used
Ranchos Los Amigos.
That's right. Yeah Ranchos Los Amigos. But we used to go once a month down there. Mm-hmm. But we used to get involved with the
painting and
painting and everything. Yeah.
Play with the kids.
And that's we have a particular story of one of the trips down to Mexico that I remember.
And we were dating.
We were dating at the time. Should we?
Yes, please.
So we were dating, and all our brothers and sisters were there too. Mark, who we talked about, was heading this particular trip. But
so there might be people listening thinking, okay, Lisa and Danny are dating, and they went to Mexico together.
And yes. I slept with the girls, and he slept with the
And that's
boys.
What I want to point out to people that you didn't choices. Make provision for the flesh.
No, we did not.
No, we had all our brothers and sisters there, and brothers in the Lord, and we worked. I was working the hard, so the women usually had the easy job down there. So they were in the kitchen eating and
cooking for you guys.
Cooking for us, yes, they were.
You remember my earlier disclaimer?
Yes.
I'm not taking responsibility for you sleeping on the couch, buddy.
That was just from my memory that I remember. But anyway, this one particular time, it was at night. They were by a river over there, so it was very. And this was like an August time frame, September, July, August time frame. So it was quite warm down there. But they had mosquitoes like crazy down there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the other guys joking that they're going to lay out their arm for a sacrifice, so they get a good night's sleep. It was so bad. Mm-hmm. Well, same with us. And everybody was sleeping out outside that mm-hmm. night. The girls and the guys were all sleeping out in sleeping bags at the in the same area. Mm-hmm. Well, we jumped in Lisa's car because that's what we took down there. We jumped in her car, rolled down the windows, and went as fast as we could, get rid of all the mosquitoes. And we rolled them back up, and we had some people in there, you know, to stay away from the mosquitoes. But that was one of the stories. That's mm-hmm. how.
Yeah, we just stayed busy.
We did.
We were very involved in church. We went Sunday, yes. Wednesday. I mean, anytime the doors were open, we were there. And I worked there, so I think it just lent to us being involved, and the more just being encouraged to keep that lifestyle, you know, going and that commitment to one another.
When did you guys start talking about marriage in the process of dating?
So we went to the Kiss concert, passing out tracts at a Kiss concert at the fairgrounds. And, you had already asked me, you have to tell the story. Because you had already asked me if I'd be interested in dating you.
Yeah, so this was before, and I was like, would you consider dating me? And she goes, well, no, not really.
I said, you're like a brother in the Lord.
Yeah. But then later on, yeah. I mean, I'd say it was probably about a month later after mm-hmm. I took a trip to California, stayed there for about mm-hmm. a month. Then when I came back, you know, it says absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
So
the Kiss concert, we were passing out tracts and I saw him with the other gals and I'm like, oh, did I blow that? So I just said, actually, I even talked to Lenya about it because I didn't want to be jealous. I didn't want to feel jealousy and that if that's a bad thing. So Lenya said, well, you won't know unless you say something to him. And then, you know, it could be that the Lord's just leading you back. So I did. I said, can we talk? And he said, sure. And I saw him all smug. It's like, yeah, I wonder what she wants to talk to me about. So we went to a steak restaurant and he says, so what do you want to talk to me about? And I said, well, would you consider taking me up on the offer you made me a few months ago?
Yeah.
And he said, okay, we'll see how it goes. And then I just waited for his lead. But I had already known that he was made a commitment to the Lord to not kiss the girl that he was going to marry until he lifted the veil. We had already had that discussion.
You know, I know that the kiss mm-hmm. was an important, the kiss wasn't really the focal point.
No.
The focal point was when we're married is when we seal our vows.
Yes.
Yes.
So you were hugging?
Yeah.
He
kissed me on the forehead or on the cheek goodnight. Okay. And we would hug each other and hold hands. We held hands a lot.
But what do you want to see people that are dating today? I mean, there's even people my age.
Yes.
That are wanting to date and are having exactly the same conversation. How mm-hmm. do you honor God? How do you really facilitate communication? And so that you really get to know the other person. Are there
yes.
things you'd like to see our culture do that would really help people in their marriages?
Yeah. You know, the thing is, I think the important thing is facilitating involvement in extra activities, you know, whether it's missionary work or whether it's helping out, you know, down at the food bank, something like that. That's where I think you really get to know them because you see them in a working and potentially troubled area, you know, where you're having to deal with people. And that could spur on additional conversations between each other. Mm-hmm. But you really get to see them in the light mm-hmm. When we're out working. So that's, I think, a big part of a good relationship.
Yeah. And I think sometimes our culture thinks, oh, you don't want to do any work with your spouse.
Right.
You guys have exactly the opposite view.
Yeah.
You want to serve together.
Yeah.
And right.
We did. We did a lot of serving together at church when we were dating. And then we also did Bible studies together. We bought books.
Ryrie Study Bibles.
And we bought a set before
Matthew Henry.
Even asked me to marry him. We shared the cost and we had Bible studies together. And then we did the smaller groups and the singles group. You just have to make a choice to stay busy. And if you find yourself in those situations where you're spending too much time alone together, you feel things heating up, you could even heat things up with too long of hugs. So you have to be careful that you don't, you know, you just got to get away from it. Literally, you have to be like Joseph and run.
You know what's funny? What's funny about this is everything you're saying is so real. But it's also not a bad thing that it was heating up. The bad thing is where you don't realize it and you just make provision for your flesh. Like I've heard a lot of people say, you know, a lot of us have different things that we have more temptation than another. Like I'll use alcohol as an example. Sure. Well, if you're an alcoholic, you don't want to go hang out at the bar.
Exactly.
Right.
And I remember the story of Joseph when Potiphar's wife was trying to basically grab him and sexually do whatever, and he literally jumped out the window.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know many men that would jump out the window if a woman was offering that.
And I think it takes two, because he's initiated as the leader and as the man, which I think this culture, what I would like to see is men start being responsible. Right. Even our abortion problem wouldn't be an abortion problem if men weren't pushing women to have sex. Mm. There needs to be established the heart of a man, especially us, the Christian men, that is, you don't do that. That is something that you want to honor God and you want to respect that woman and treat her like a sister in the Lord. He treated me like a sister in the Lord. Mm. Before anything. And there was such safety and security in that. And I think that that's such an important integral part is that the man becomes the leader for the godly things. Bible says don't have sex before marriage. The man needs to initiate that. I didn't have to tell him no. Wow. And that is huge.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. Lisa and Danny Andazola in studio, and we're talking about their unique dating experience, their dedication to the Lord, and the way they love each other today in the Lord. And we're going to talk a little bit about their families and the family that they have in the kinship with the other people, and maybe how some of their experience has lent some ability to advise some of their friends. We'll be back with Lisa and Danny right after these messages. Lisa and Danny Andazola are in studio. They're part of a Kinship Connect group. We've interviewed various members of the group. People might remember a couple weeks ago we had the Williams family and the Ruizes on talking about both some amazing victorious things and some tragedy and how your group is supported. So with all the marriage experience that you've had, have you been able to lend some counsel to members of your group and encourage them in their marriages? You don't have to mention names, but
we as a group share everything. You know, we have in the early days when we were right in the middle of it and we were raising kids and stuff, we would say who had the fight of the week, and you know, because we were meeting weekly at that time. With kids and everything, they would put them into bed, but we would share with each other who had the fight of the week, and it wasn't just a one-on-one counseling; it would be everybody counseling each other.
So, if you shared a fight that you hadn't actually talked to Lisa about, did the other guys kind of get on you a little bit about that?
Oh yeah,
Everybody would get on that one person.
And it's recently we've just done it. A couple of us couples were. You know, going through it, because the enemy is never happy when you're doing good. He wants to make sure that he's causing trouble. But just recently, there was accountability, and another brother was talking to another brother. And you don't want to say it's being blindsided, but because of the questions we're going through in this great book, it's Finding Joy in the Empty Nest is what we're going through now. And over the years, husbands and wives have picked books. The Williams have been great to initiate all the marriage stuff. We've done Love and Respect, Mark Gunger, and so many different things. But this Finding Joy in the Empty Nest is what we're going through now. And it's been perfect for us because I think we're finally empty nesters. Our kids have done the boomerang effect for 10 years, which we've loved. But at some point, they don't come back. And so it's been perfect for us. It's asked hard questions. It's by Jim Burns, but he's funny and it's so good. So we're doing that. We rotate houses. We've done that for over 30 years. And then the husband leads what questions he wants to ask. But the accountability has been so good for us. Of course, you could feel whatever couple is kind of on the uncomfortable side because things are being talked about or things are coming out. You just pray, you know, you're praying for them after they leave because it got a little, you know, uneasy, but it's good for us. And we come back and then everybody sees we're doing better and everybody has experienced that. Not one couple in our group has not had that feeling of feeling like we're being counseled. And it's a good thing. We need to be counseled.
Well, and you have to be able to receive.
Yes.
My favorite scripture is Hebrews 12:11. Mm-hmm. It says, discipline is never pleasant.
No.
And it isn't.
No.
All right.
In fact, it's uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but it yields for those, yes. or it pays you back more than you put into it.
Yes.
The peaceful fruit, meaning that you can have a good conscience about yeah. this discipline you're enduring. So if yeah. Danny does something wrong and he endures a little discipline from the group,
right? Right.
He's got joy. He finds peace in that. Yes. Let me ask you this question, and it's kind of twofold, but I want for a minute to describe Lisa, mom, sister, mm-hmm. daughter, surrounded by family. At that time of your life when you had all this going on, kids at home and everything else, you could rationalize that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't have this kinship group, would you have kind of been alone?
Oh, absolutely. We've just been there for each other.
But people don't realize that they're alone. They're, right. they're so busy in all the stuff. And I have right. to tell you, I read Proverbs 31, the second half of that chapter, yeah. and just about a godly woman. Well, she's like an entrepreneur yeah. and a seamstress and a farmer and a yeah. you name it. And it's amazing what women have the capacity to do. So thankful.
Yeah.
I have three daughters. I have two boys. And I see that in my daughters.
Yeah.
But I worry that these gifted women mm-hmm. get so busy
yeah.
that they isolate themselves.
Oh, it's very dangerous. And it was crucial to have my sisters, Chris and Jen, and Denise, and who am I missing?
Renee.
Because when we get together, we check on each other mm-hmm. and see how we're doing in marriage. And there's times when we're not doing well. And so then the listening and the prayers that happen when we're together, because we also meet for birthdays. Before, we used to meet like once a month just to go be together, us sisters. But now we just do birthdays. And we just try and be honest about what's happening in our lives, and just that vulnerability and having that accountability as sisters in the Lord, it's just precious. And you don't, being that we're a kinship, we don't, it would be a horrible thing to go this long and then one of us not, you know, someone is not doing good and they're not really struggling and then it didn't come out at kinship. The rest of us would be devastated, you know, it's like, what do you mean? You should have told us. And so there's a big vulnerability that we do have where we're not faking a happy marriage when we're together. And I think that's crucial in these connect groups, these kinship groups, is that we're not pretending to have this perfect life, because life is hard and we have to talk about it so that we can get through it.
So Danny, how do you connect with other people? Isn't it more about what you invest in them rather than you expecting them to reach out to you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't be selfish. I mean, if you're starting to be selfish, then you're not really sharing, being able to share the Lord with that person. And I think that's what we did, like in kinship, is we were able to admonish each other mm-hmm. and to
iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, you know, iron sharpens iron for sure. You know, and in a good
in
point,
a good way.
In a good way. And we definitely did that with each other. There's, you know, all the guys there are really strong guys, and they're strong Christians, and the ladies as well. So, and they've all been married 30s. I think we're the longest marriage, but everybody else is right behind us, 38, 37 years. So we have, you know, a good history of marriage in that group.
Mm-hmm. So when you say good history, though, I don't want our listeners to misunderstand. Mm-hmm. Christians struggle with issues too.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
All along the way, I mean, with kids, you know, and kids are the dynamic part of it. And we used to bring our kids there. So that would cause a lot of fights and amongst each other. But we resolved it. We would maybe get mad Yeah, I don't think anybody hit anybody there.
No, they did.
Nobody ever hit anybody. But we resolved it, and we yeah. came back to meet together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're brothers and sisters in the Lord first.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can't I have to ask you this because we talked about it in the break, but I have written down here, share a special moment, but you shared during the break how you actually got engaged. And romance was mentioned.
Yes.
Tell us that story.
Well, Danny says he's not romantic, but when you look back on it, so we had a we had a short engagement. We started dating September. About 6 months into it, I kind of put pressure on him. And I said, if I'm not spouse material, then I don't want to date anymore. If you foresee me as being your wife, then I can, you know, but I don't want this to be dragged out. Either this is, I'm the one or I'm not. And so he's like, I remember the look he gave me like, what the heck? But I just wasn't going to, I didn't want to just, I didn't date for 4 years. So it's like, I don't want to keep doing this. And it also can lead to breaking that covenant of getting close physically. So we, you know, didn't want to go there. So then I guess he felt a little pressure because by July 4th at Wayne Webb's Turf Ranch, on the way home
out in Moriarty.
Out in Moriarty.
Yeah, the 4th of July picnic.
Many of us got baptized in the swamp.
That's right. That's right. Yes. We were driving home and in the canyon, I am driving and he asks me to marry him. I'm driving at probably, what was it, 60, 70 miles an hour back then. And so I just look over at him and I pull over and I'm just so excited. And I said, yes, yes. Well, here comes sirens behind us and it's a police officer. And I'm like, oh no, was I speeding? Did I get so excited? I'm going to get a ticket now. And so he comes to the window, taps on and he goes, is everything okay? I'm just checking on you. And I just said, he just proposed to me. And so that was our one story. And then he takes me to the Luna Mansion. So I have a feeling something's coming up. And he takes me to the Luna Mansion and he pulls out a Coke pop top. He says, can I have your hand? And I'm going, oh my gosh, here it is, here it is. And he opens up a jewelry box and it's a Coke pop top in there and he puts it on my finger. And I didn't know what to do.
I have a good excuse, but go ahead and finish.
So I just looked at him. And he's always joking. He makes me laugh a lot. So he's always joking. So I'm like, okay, this is part of what's coming here. And then he explains.
Well, so I didn't know how do you get the right size ring for a girl that you're going to, I was like, it won't fit if it's too big. You know, then she's going to have to take it back. I didn't know what to do. And I didn't have, my mom had passed when I was quite young. But so I didn't know what to do. I said, well, I'll just give her something that, then we can go buy one together. I thought that
I like that idea.
I thought that'd be a good thing, doing something together, right?
I still have the Coke popped up.
Yeah, I didn't know that you were supposed to.
We encouraged our boys not to propose that way.
Yes, yes.
Lessons learned.
Yes.
Lisa and Danny Andazola will be with us till 2 o'clock. We have one more segment with them. We hope you'll stay with us. I've enjoyed this so much. Oh, thanks for being here. We'll be right back right after these messages. Danny and Lisa Andazola in studio today, and they're talking about everything from how they met to their commitment to dating, keeping that dating relationship pure. They got engaged, got married pretty quickly, and they've been married for 40 years. Kids are out of the home. Everybody's doing pretty well. I know you guys have spent a lot of time in ministry. You've committed yourself not just to your own relationship and your children, but to several other couples. I know Laura's your sister, and Kevin, her husband, they live in Kansas City.
Yes,
but they participated in this kind of accountability group.
Yeah, early on.
Tell us what you guys want our listeners to do with all this information. What do you hope for them?
One thing that I hope would be that you get involved in a small group. And right now, our kids, we're encouraging them to meet with other couples. And I think our oldest is doing that in Boise with his wife. But the importance of meeting with other couples and just being able to be together and do life together and have that atmosphere. And then I think for me, that for men to really take to heart, especially Christian men out there listening, would go, wow, I have the same revelation today because I heard Danny's story. I heard Danny say that he could do it. So if Danny can do it, men out there, teenage young boys, don't wait until you're older and have all these relationships that now you're going to still have in your memory bank. Start now and respect the young lady you're with. Bring chivalry back. Open the car door. Hold her hand. Stay away from the making out that's going to lead to you fornicating. Bottom line is, don't sin against your God.
You've said something so profound today, and that is that Danny never put you in a situation where you had to tell him no.
Exactly. That is precious.
That's courage.
Yeah.
It's courage for you, and it's also courage for him. And Danny, that all came by another man sharing that same concept with you.
An older brother in the Lord. He just sat there over a cup of coffee and was able to share that with me. And he knows it was from the Lord because it stuck with me all these years. And it's
paid off.
Do you see older men investing in younger men the way they should today?
I don't see that in the church. It just seems like it's just a big divide there. I don't know if it's everybody wants to get rid of the boomers sooner than it's time, but the millennials and the Gen X's, it's a different
So I want to make a comment about that, because I have two boys, I have three girls. All of them kind of feel this way. Dad, I'll text you. No. I want to have an interpersonal conversation with you. And I think we got to get back to that.
Oh, absolutely. I do not like texting, and I'm involved with a couple of different text groups that I just thumbs up, okay. That's the extent of my text. But if you want to talk, I'll sit down and talk to you as long as you want, and that's the thing, whether they're young or old, and my boys are really good. When we do get together, we'll sit out there and we'll talk and we'll have a good time, whether it's on the golf course or out on the back patio. Mm-hmm. We can have a good talk along with and Connie Kay as well and her husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to read Ephesians 5:33. It says, "Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." How do you guys think respect is different than love? Because a woman's not called to love her husband.
Right. Well, for many years, we would have the argument, well, if you would love me first, I could respect you. Well, if you would respect me first, I could love you. And then you're just at a standstill with that. Yeah. But I think for me,
Emerson Eggerich calls that the crazy cycle.
It is the crazy cycle. And we've had those many times over 40 years, but we're getting better at it. Yeah. What I love now in this stage is we're reinventing ourselves. That's what this book that we're doing is talking about. Once the empty nest comes, you have to reinvent yourself. You have to get back to the things that are important that started that love relationship between you. You have to. If you don't, you're going to die. And I've seen too many marriages, and it's just sad when you see, even my parents struggled. My parents struggled at the very end, 60 years married, and they didn't have fellowship. They weren't going to church. So they just let things go the things they were doing, they quit doing. And I think God through this book is reminding us what we need to do. So for me, respect, it's choosing to respect whether I get love or not. And over 40 years, because I love Jesus, I know that Danny loves Jesus more than he loves me. And I'm good with that. And I love Jesus more than I love him. Because then I can choose to respect him, even though I feel he might not be deserving of respect because of whatever reason. I can choose to take it before the Lord and then still show him that respect in like, okay, well, this is how I feel. This is what I think. But bottom line, you make the decision. We're in the midst of a decision right now to where I feel pretty strongly one way. But ultimately, I am showing him respect by saying I'm trusting that you're hearing from the Lord. And when I put myself in that place, there's peace. There is peace, and it's the best place to be as a wife of 40 years of marriage.
Yeah, and on the hand that where I look from as far as with loving her, and I did that at first, and I showed that, I think, in our dating relationship. I loved her enough not to harm her in any way, whether it's spiritually, mentally, physically, or anything like that. That's where I kind of look at it. It's like in my decision making is what's going to be in her best interest? What is she going to, what would she, after 40 years, I've learned one or two things.
But I hope so. Like,
it's what would she do? What would she like? What would she love in that respect? And that's the decision that I'll wholeheartedly try to make if that's the way I can go.
Hey, is there any politics in the group? Does Lisa get three or four of the other wives to gang up and try to influence you in some way?
Yeah, that happens with the books we pick. Yeah. The books we pick really help us women move our men along to.
Yeah, yeah, but I always think back. I always think back to my big fat Greek wedding.
Yeah.
Where she says, you know, the man might be the head, but the woman's the neck.
Yes.
By the way, that's not in the Bible, but I do think to some degree it's true.
It sure does work that way a lot.
But again, it's a dynamic. It's constant communication.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the Andazolas sitting at breakfast in a restaurant and not speaking to each other for an hour like you see so many couples do. And it hurts my heart. I'm not, if that's you, I'm not making fun of you. My heart aches for you.
Yes.
Because share your life with that person that you're with.
Yes.
You know, something, Jim, is in that early time of when we weren't kissing, we were communicating, we were talking, having fun.
It's our foundation.
And now in the empty nest, we're kind of back in that same situation where it's just Lisa and I, and we're having fun. We're talking. We're you know, enjoying life together.
You're hitting a few golf balls together.
Yes, we are.
I'm along for his bucket list, and I'm getting pretty good.
She is getting good.
He's given me some quarters lately because I win the hole.
Yeah, we play for quarters, right?
Playing for quarters.
That's so fun.
But not to say, you know, we don't want to be fake about it. There are hard times, and Jesus helps you through. You got to go to him.
Amen. Danny and Lisa, I'm so blessed you guys did this with us.
Thanks for
blessing me, our listeners, and we ask God to bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you so
much.
Okay.